Congratulations! You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
You're tuned in to the R1 News, your stop for news and current affairs on the airwaves. 11 to 12 weekdays here on Radio 1 91 FM. Te reo irirangi kotahi.
Tēnā koutou I tēnei ata. Kei te whakaronga mai koe ki te reo irirangi kotahi. Ko Miria Taku Ingoa, and you're listening to the R1 News Show for Rapare Thursday, the 16th of June. Today on the program, we will be speaking with Blake Hornblow, the Dunedin representative of Whitewater New Zealand, about the organisation's opposition to the repitching of a hydro scheme for Waitaha River by Westpower, the electricity distribution network on the west coast of New Zealand's South Island. After that, we'll be joined by Will O'Heron and Will Irvine, representatives and founding members of Teens Against TERFs, to hear about their recent petition calling for the cancellation of the Nelson Anti-TERF Conference this August at Rutherford Hospital. And finally, on the show, we'll be joined by director of the French Film Festival, Aotearoa, Fergus Grady, to find out what we can see as part of this year's festival, which is starting up in Aotearoa today. In INA, we've got Eileen with news headlines and weather, but before all of that, here's a song. This is Not Fake News by Same Name Confusion. It is 11:02 a.m. on Thursday, the 16th of June. You're listening to R1 News on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. Stay tuned.
Supermarket.
Not Fake News by Same Name Confusion. You're listening to R1 News on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi, and here is Eileen with the headlines.
The R1 News headlines.
Tēnā koutou, ko Eileen Aho. From next Tuesday, COVID-19 pre-departure tests will no longer be required for travellers entering New Zealand. New COVID-19 Response Minister Ayesha Verrill made the announcement this morning. Previously, pre-departure testing requirements were expected to be removed on July 31st. According to Verrill, pre-departure tests are no longer needed as they are returning a positivity of under 3%. Incoming travellers will still be required to test on arrival to the country and 6 days after. Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong says the nation needs to be engaged in the Pacific more than it was under the previous government. Wong, who is currently in Wellington to meet with New Zealand Foreign Minister Nanaia Mahuta, told RNZ Morning Report this morning that Pacific security should be provided by the Pacific family. She also criticised the previous Australian Liberal National Coalition government for its track record on climate change and echoed Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's message on the 501 deportation program, saying it will not be abolished, but that changes called for by New Zealand are set to be considered. A sudden loss of government education funding has come as a shock for two Otipoti institutions. Otago Museum has lost its $80,000 enriching local curriculum funding from the Ministry of Education, and Orokonui Eco Sanctuary has lost $70,000 under the same scheme. The ELC program allows for free educational tours for students, and Otago Museum Director Dr. Ian Griffin said in 2019 it saw more than 15,000 students through the museum, on a contract that expected them to serve 1,560. Because of the funding cut, the museum will begin to charge a $10 admission fee for school students on educational tours. Dr. Griffin says this may prevent lower decile schools from attending. And those were the headlines on R1 News. Now, ke te pēhea te āhua o te rangi. How's the weather?
The R1 News weather.
I tēnei rā, Otipoti is set for sun in the morning, wind in the afternoon and rain in the evening, with a high of te kaumātoru, 13, and a low of whā, 4. Āpōpō expect a high of te kau, 10, and a low of whā, 4 again, with morning cloud clearing to a fine afternoon and northeasterly breezes.
That was the R1 News headlines. Catch up at r1.co.nz/news or find us at Radio 1 91 FM on Twitter or R1 News NZ on Instagram and tune in to R1 News at 11 a.m. on weekdays.
Kia ora for those headlines, Eileen. It is 11:08 a.m. and up next on the program we'll be speaking with Blake Hornblow, the Dunedin representative of Whitewater NZ, about the organisation's opposition to the repitching of a hydro scheme for Waitaha River. But before all that, here is a song. This is Eye to Eye by Leisure. Stay tuned.
I'll be
This is the R1 News on Radio 1 91 FM. Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi.
That was Dog Pond by Resi Crooks, and it is 16 minutes past 11. You're listening to R1 News here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi, and I'm about to talk with Blake Hornblow, the Dunedin representative of Whitewater NZ, about the group's opposition to a repitching of a hydro scheme for Waitara River by West Power. In 2016, community-owned company Westpower pitched a hydro scheme to utilise the power of a notoriously wild stretch of Waitara River, colloquially dubbed by kayaking groups the Mount Cook of Rivers, for its paralleled difficulty to Aotearoa's highest mountain. The $100 scheme, intended to be the West Coast's largest power scheme, generating electricity for an estimated 12,000 households. In 2016, the pitch received a concession from the Department of Conservation, who had to approve the project in principle in order for it to move ahead. As most of the river runs through conservation land, if approved, the scheme had the potential to reduce the river's flow up to 85%, effectively drying it up and making it impossible to paddle. In 2016, the pitch was ultimately rejected by the government, with Environment Minister David Parker saying the application was declined because establishing the power scheme in this location would have significant impacts on the natural character of the area, the intrinsic value of the area, and people's enjoyment of it. This decision was controversial, with some groups supporting the scheme for the jobs and power it would bring, while others voiced concern for environmental, ecological, cultural, and personal reasons. WesPower's original 2016 pitch was rejected by the government in 2019. However, as of June 1st, WesPower launched a renewed bid asking the government to reconsider the hydro scheme. One of the groups opposing WesPower's relaunch scheme is Whitewater New Zealand, a charitable organisation who campaign for, among other things, the maintenance of Whitewater rivers as natural, untouched resources. The group is composed predominantly of paddle sport enthusiasts, including Whitewater kayakers. We are now joined by Blake Hornblow, a Dunedin representative of Whitewater NZ, to discuss what the group believes supports and what they idealise as the best way to sustain Aotearoa's natural riverscapes. Kia ora, Blake. Are you there?
Yeah, hi. Yeah, thanks for having me on and for your interest in the Whitepower.
Earlier this month, Whitewater New Zealand took to social media with concerns about WesPower's launch for a renewed bid occurring on June 1st, adapted from the 2016 bid, which was rejected by the government in 2019. Could you please describe what Whitewater NZ's concerns with this hydro scheme is?
Yeah, I guess we have a couple of concerns, but the main reason being that, the river is highly valuable to kayakers. As you mentioned in your intro, it's sort of known as sort of the pinnacle of kayaking in New Zealand or the Mount Cook of rivers. And so, it holds big value to us and to a lot of New Zealanders, I think, as a wild river. So of course for the recreational value that we have as kayakers, but also just in the essence that it's a really wild and pristine area currently, and this hydro scheme would alter that.
On the Whitewater NZ website, the organisation's tagline is Maunga Awa Te Aroha He Wairoa, or For the Love of Rivers. What about the WesPower hydro scheme opposes Whitewater NZ's values?
Sorry, would you just be able to repeat that?
The tagline on the website for Whitewater NZ is For the Love of Rivers. What would this scheme that WesPower is proposing oppose these values that Whitewater NZ holds?
Yeah, I guess as you sort of mentioned, the hydro scheme would reduce the flow through a part of the Waitara mm-hmm. River called Morgan's Gorge, which is sort of an incredible scenic gorge that's deep carved into a schist bedrock, and having this hydro scheme would reduce the flow through there to almost a trickle. So yeah, it would take away the nature of that river and I guess its power that it has going through this incredible gorge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other groups have cited a range of concerns about WesPower's proposed hydro scheme that don't involve recreational aspects of Waitara River. Forest and Bird opposed the scheme in 2016 due to the risk of threatening species such as blue duck, long-tailed bat, kaka and kia, all of which live in the area. The Federated Mountain Club took a similar stance to Whitewater NZ, concerned about the irreversible damage to the natural landscape. Are these other concerns about the scheme, including ecological, natural and environmental impacts, of equal concern for Whitewater NZ?
I'd say that they are still of concern for Whitewater New Zealand, for sure. We definitely think that the sort of deep wilderness areas that we have left in New Zealand should be protected, I guess. Kayakers and Kiwis are adventurers at heart. The main reason we oppose it is for the sort of wilderness value that it holds, and a big part of that is the ecological value of paddling with the likes of Fio, of the blue duck and kia and kaka when we're in the environment. So yeah, certainly the ecological value is important as well.
Mm-hmm. And as we've mentioned, the Waitara River is currently one of the most challenging and notorious kayaking destinations in Aotearoa. What sort of impact would WesPower's proposed hydro scheme have for, you know, national culture and other international kayaking communities?
Yeah, the Waitara and the west coast of New Zealand in general is well known internationally as one of the best kayaking destinations. The change to the riverscape on the Waitara would be a huge impact to kayaking in New Zealand. And I guess it's important to note that, not a huge amount of kayakers can paddle the Waitaha. It's an incredibly difficult river, and sort of only a handful of groups go through every summer. It's more, I guess, that it's something that people would aspire to do in the kayaking community. So it's really important to have things that are bigger and something that you can aspire to in the community. So, yeah, I think if we lost access to this river or lost it in its natural state, it could definitely alter the community's perception of what's possible in kayaking. There's been a lot of progression in whitewater kayaking in the last few years, and I think that we're really lucky in New Zealand that we have protected these resources so that there's been a space for the progress of the sport into more challenging environments.
Right, so on that note, what would you like to see the government that supports Whitewater and NZ's rivers preservation ideals?
Oh, sorry, you just cut out again there.
Sorry about that. What would you like to see from the government to support this preservation?
I guess we'd just like to see them again support how, similar to, I guess, what David Parker saw in the value of the river being wild in its wild and pristine state. We would invite any government to come and view the Waitaha with us and see that value for themselves and ultimately oppose the development of the hydro scheme.
Great. Well, thanks so much for coming on and talking with me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah, thanks for your interest.
That was Dunedin representative of Whitewater New Zealand, who are opposing the bill of Westpower's hydro scheme for Waitaha River. Coming up next on the show, I will be talking to representatives from Teens Against Turfs, who have recently created and platformed a petition calling for the cancellation of the Nelson Anti-Trans Conference this August. It is currently 25 minutes past 11, and you're listening to R1 News here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. I'm going to play a song now. This is Blood by Revolver.
It's not their time of moon with me. You're powering up with more. before I bleed.
It is 11:30 and you are listening to R1 News on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. That was Revolver with Blood, and before that I spoke with Dunedin representative of Whitewater New Zealand, Blake Hornblow, about the organisation's opposition to West Power's hydro scheme for Waitaha River. Now I'm about to be joined by representatives from Teens Against Turfs, who have recently created and platformed a petition calling for the cancellation of the Nelson Anti-Trans Conference this August. A week ago, an Instagram account was created under the handle Teens Against Turfs. On the same day, the page posted a selection of slides titled What You Need to Know About the Nelson Anti-Trans Conference. The post quickly gained traction as it was shared across the social media platform, amassing over 100 comments as of last night. The page itself has attracted nearly 1,000 followers in under a week. TERF is an acronym for Transgender Exclusionary Radical Feminism, and it has been adopted by as a colloquial noun to describe feminists who do not include trans women in their feminism. Teens Against TERF's first post detailing what readers, quote, need to know about the Nelson Anti-Trans Conference arose in opposition to an event being held by the Child Adolescent Therapist Association titled Children, Adolescents and Gender, Negative Impacts of Transgender Ideology. The event is scheduled to be held at Rutherford Hospital in Nelson in early August. Teens Against TERFs have created and platformed a petition which has amassed over 6,000 signatures calling for Rutherford Hospital to cancel the event. We are joined now by Will O'Heron and Will Irvine, representatives and founding members of Teens Against TERFs. Kia ora, how's it going?
Kia ora, how are you?
Good, guys.
Good, thank you. So, the Teens Against TERFs Instagram account gained traction online very quickly after you first posted just a week ago. The transgender exclusionary feminist ideology has existed for a long time, and this is now the first event to be held in Aotearoa platforming such events. Why did your group decide now was the time to take action with the account and petition?
Look, most of us who are organising this boycott are students from Nayland College in Nelson, for whom the Rutherford is quite a significant venue. It's where our school ball is being held, and our school is a school that has a history of like upholding queer rights and trans rights, and we thought that it was pretty disgusting that something like this could take place in a venue that we are actually like quite dedicated to using. We thought it was pretty abhorrent that the Rutherford would kind of uphold these practices.
Right. A comment thread on one of the posts on your group's Instagram account asked whether the Child Adolescent Therapist Association are a legitimate organisation. Could you tell us what leads Teens Against TERFs to oppose the legitimacy of this association in comparison to other psychological societies in New Zealand?
Well, upon investigation of many of the speakers, we found that they had experience working with other TERF groups such as Speak Up for Women or Lesbian Action for Visibility Aotearoa.
which are both TERF organisations which have a history of antagonising trans legislation and things like conversion therapy bans. And so when we found that these speakers had close ties with these groups, it kind of called into question how legitimate these people really are.
The reality is that CATA, or the organisation that we're attempting to address, really hasn't had any kind of noticeable advocacy for queer rights or even attempted to produce any kind of discussion that has both sides represented in this course. That is purely an event that is dedicated to fear-mongering and producing hatred. We see that by the fact that it's like there are they've got a speaker called Margaret Kerno from Lava, who is specifically talking about the idea that transgender women are erasing lesbians. There is just no room for an open and balanced dialogue within this event, and we think that's pretty important to be presenting to like young parents.
Right, yeah. So on the 10th of June, the New Zealand Psychological Society said the Child Adolescent Therapist Association event does not reflect evidence-based practice in working with transgender or gender-diverse children and adolescents. Is it encouraging to know that this association is publicly opposing the conference, or does it concern you that the event has gained such public interest that the Psychological Association feels the need to release a statement on it?
I mean, yeah, on one hand, it's really great that we've received such amazing support against the event. We've had people from Christchurch, we've had people from around Nelson, we've had people all over the country reach out and support us. But at the same time, yes, you're right, it's very saddening that it's even had to come to this and that this event was even going to take place at all.
I think what's important to know is that this is not the first time that this type of event has happened in Nelson. Around last year, Speak Up Women tried to host a conference in a city council venue, and while the event went ahead, it was met with widespread protests from the community, including multiple city councillors. I think it's important to note that the Nelson community is like largely opposed to trans-exclusionary radical feminism, and we don't see that this event represents who we are as a city.
Right. So on that note, Teens Against TERFs indicates that your group is formed not only to oppose the specific conference, but also the more general ideology of trans-exclusionary feminism. What does your group intend to do in the future?
Yeah, so we have plans of working with people up and down the country to make sure events like these can't even be organised in the first place. Support networks for trans youth, and by having resources available to parents of trans children so that there's alternatives compared to going to these events and seeing misinformation.
Yeah, we know that we can't stop bigotry and hatred, but what we can do is provide a way for young people to feel accepted and feel loved by the people around them, and that's kind of what we're trying to achieve.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming on and chatting with me about this today.
Thank you. It's been good. Thank you.
Where can people find out a little bit more about what you guys are up to and this conference happening, or the petition against this conference, I suppose?
Go to our Instagram, which, as has been mentioned, is at Teens Against TERFs, no caps, and we have a link in our bio there to our petition, which you can sign to let the Rutherford Hotel and specifically its general manager know that this event is not tolerated by the community. Thank you.
Thank you. That was representatives from the group Teens Against TERFs chatting about their new petition against a... their new petition... Yeah. Against the cancellation of the Nelson Anti-Trans Conference this August in Nelson. It is 22 minutes to 12 here on R1 News, and up next I will be chatting with director of the French Film Festival, which is starting off in Dunedin today. So stay tuned to hear about that, but this is a song. It is Floating by Junois.
I'm
This is the R1 News on Radio 1 91 FM. Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi.
It is 11:44 and you are listening to R1 News on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. That was Le Chateau by Ginger Root. And now I am joined by director of the French Film Festival, Aotearoa, Fergus Grady. The French Film Festival is back, making its way around the country, hitting 15 towns in 2 months. And the first film kicking off here in Aotearoa, Dunedin, was today at 11:15 a.m., I believe. There's over 20 films showing as part of this year's festival, and now I'm joined by Fergus Grady, director of the festival, to hear more about it. Kia ora, how's it going?
Kia ora, Marina.
Or should I say bonjour?
Bonjour, ça va?
Ça va, oui. The French Film Festival has been going for a couple of weeks now in other parts of the country. How's it going so far?
It's been helped greatly by the weather. We've had some dreadful weather up north, and I'm sure you guys have had plenty of snow down south, so it's the perfect time to be inside with a glass of red or rouge and enjoying some French experiences.
Ah, right, of course. What are some of the highlights of the film festival this year?
Well, you were right. The first session that's just gone in, Murder Party, is one of the highlights, and that screens a number of times over the next 3 weeks in Dunedin, so that's a great one to look out for. But probably the most popular one at the moment is a comedy called Employee of the Month, which is a lot of fun, a bit of French farce, and takes you across multiple continents. Looks at the kind of public servant life and the benefits of being a public servant in France.
Right. So this year's French Film Festival looks quite diverse. Are they all fully French films, or?
Yeah, no Canadians, no French Canadians this year, unfortunately. But we're all 21 films are French language with English subtitles. We spend a lot of time on the programming and curation of the festival, and we feel we've picked the best 21 that Kiwi audiences will love this winter.
Oh, awesome. The French Film Festival has been happening for a number of years. How's it been going over the past couple of years with COVID restrictions and concerns?
Yeah, well, this is the 16th year the festival's run, and it's our second year as organisers. And last year was the most successful year on record. So I think COVID's helped in many ways with the environment we were in last year, with being locked in and borders closed. And certain freedoms, I think people were pretty relaxed about zero COVID policy. Obviously, 2022 is a different beast, and we're having to juggle a number of, audience trends. I think people are still a bit cautious, but, you know, we've got more sessions. The festival's an extra week in every city this year. And I think people are generally braving the... We were trying to rush the post-COVID world through as quickly as possible. I was in France 3 weeks ago and watching films in the Cannes Film Festival, and yeah, nice to be with a European audience who had kind of moved on from COVID, so that's what we're hoping for next year and beyond.
Wow, over at the Cannes Film Festival, what is it about, you know, French and foreign cinema that is so special and that makes the French Film Festival so successful?
Well, I think the French, firstly, they're a very proud, patriotic nation, and they're also very creative, creative thinkers. When I watch a French film and I think about the potential of a remake, I just don't think it's possible because it's so out there and fantastical and different. And that's what defines French cinema, I think. We have our opening night film, A Mermaid in Paris, which does kind of explore those fantastical ideas of our lead character finding a mermaid on the banks of the Seine River in Paris. So, I don't think that could be achieved in English or in America or New Zealand. So, I think that's what defines the French cinema. And they're very kind of proud of their wine and cheese and hospitality. So it all kind of comes hand in hand when you see it on the big screen.
Right, yeah. Speaking of sort of remaking films in other languages, how do the subtitles work with foreign French? Like, do you notice much of a difference between people who can listen to it completely in French and understand everything versus those going solely off the subtitles and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think there's nuance with subtitles. I think it's hard to be succinct with subtitling a film, so there's a lot that gets missed, but I think for the general audience who don't speak French, it's still a fun experience. For me, I tend to lose, I lose the fact that I'm actually reading it, so I'm actually engaging with the subtitles, but not really overthinking about a reading experience. It's more about a full experience. So, I think all these films this year, particularly the comedies, all the jokes have landed well when the subtitling has kind of revealed those punchlines.
Cool, yeah. And there's a lot of movies at the film festival this year. Do you have any tips and hints for how to approach a film festival when there's so much choice?
Well, for me, I sort of binge, so it's easy to try and get through as many as possible. But for people who are limited time and kind of availability, you know, we have most of our bigger titles screening on weekends, particularly kind of around that early evening. My tip would be, if you could only watch one or two films this year in Dunedin, it would be around those sort of weekends. But then again, you know, we love all 21 of our children or films in the festival, so I'd be upset if someone didn't enjoy any of the films. So, yeah, it's worth just taking a guess or a recommendation if someone watches it early in the festival and likes the film and talks positively about it.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on today, and I'm looking forward to seeing some French films soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing happy audiences all the way through to the 3rd of July when the festival finishes in Dunedin.
Incredible. That was Fergus Grady, director of the French Film Festival in Aotearoa, which has started today in Aotearoa and will be running for the next 2 weeks. But next, I will be playing a song. This is Une Rêve Doux by Jean Tonique. It is 8 minutes to 12 here on R1 News.
De tes sentiments fébriles, tu plonges dans mes yeux, bleu comme la mandine. C'est mon rêve que j'écrivais dans un livre pour me rappeler tes yeux qui m'enivrent.
À lire tes mots, je me souviens encore de cette image. Ce départ tôt, notre rendez-vous au port. Bon voyage. Ce rêve à deux, au fil de tes pages, me perd un peu. Un ciel trop bleu, sans aucun nuage, un mirage.
C'est un rêve à deux, de tes sentiments fébriles. Tu plonges dans mes yeux, bleu comme la grandine. C'est mon rêve que j'écrivais dans un livre pour me rappeler tes yeux qui m'enivrent. C'est un rêve à deux, de tes sentiments fébriles. Tu plonges dans mes yeux, bleu comme la grandine. C'est mon rêve que j'écrivais dans un livre pour me rappeler tes yeux qui m'enivrent.
Chapitre 2, tu parles du soleil qui me brûle la peau. Et ton oiseau nous déploie ses ailes, toujours plus.
C'est un rêve à deux, tes sentiments fébriles. Tu plonges dans mes yeux, bleu comme la grandine. C'est mon rêve que j'écrivais dans un livre pour me rappeler tes yeux qui m'enivrent.
That was Une Rêve Doux by Jean Tonique, and it is 5 minutes to 12 and the end of our R1 News show for today, Thursday the 16th of June here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. Today I spoke with Blake Hornbow, the Dunedin representative of Whitewater New Zealand, about the organisation's opposition to a hydro scheme for Waitaha River by Westpower, the electricity distribution network on the west coast of New Zealand's South Island. The group is opposing it for conservation and recreational reasons, as it is a challenging whitewater rafting spot here in Aotearoa. I also spoke with the representatives and founding members of Teens Against Turfs, Willow Heron and Will Irvine, about their petition calling for the cancellation of the Nelson Anti-Trans Conference this August at the Rutherford Hospital in Nelson. And also finally on the show, I spoke with director of the French Film Festival, Fergus Grady, about all the great things coming up at the French Film Festival over the next 2 weeks here in Aotearoa and also across the Motu. And that's been my show for today, Rapare Thursday, the 16th of June. It is 3 minutes to 12, and stay tuned on Radio 1 for the Thursday Nooner, and after that, Thursday I'm in Love.
You've been tuned in to the R1 News, weekdays from 11 to 12 here on Radio 1 91 FM, Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. Catch up at r1.co.nz/news or find us at Radio 1 91 FM on Twitter or R1 News NZ on Instagram.
If you want to talk the talk, you're going to have to take the walk. On the ground, my tomahawk, I throw it at your face, because you're the cause of all this pain. Your thoughtless ways, you're still the same. You never change like the seasons change. The reason's way more sophisticated than I ever thought. The love not reciprocated, love cannot be bought. Caught between a rock and a hard place. Nah, stuff that. Caught between being God or in the rat race. Being abstract is a crime when you have that in your mind. You walk and stand in line, start at 9 and slave to 5. Third eye's been open for a while now, about 2 years, but I still don't want to climb down, and beggars can't be choosers, but you can choose to beg. Choose where you rest your head until you drop dead. Beggars can't be choosers, but you can choose to beg. Choose where you rest your head until you drop dead. Young Jedi, yes, I get a little bit excited when I see you walk into my room. And yes, I gotta get you to see I am the one for you. Young Jedi, yes, I get a little bit excited when I see you walk into my room. And yes, I gotta get you to see. I am the one for you, like Pikachu for ashes. I am the one for you, like the sparks and that matches. I am the one for you, like a pillow in that mattress. Maybe even a duvet, so you and I can nap quick. I am the young Jedi, never said I got the force, but I bet I can get you to scream out to the Lord. Never bored, never thought I'd be the one getting taught. Never thought I'd be the one to fall short of a dream. Manifested it, really made it happen. Making people happy, I can see the smiles while I'm rapping. Up on stage, that's my place, looking out at the crowded, all the beautiful individual faces. Completely different races, all in one space. Music brings people together and that won't change. It's been that way for a minute now. So hear this song, spread love, say that really loud. The young Jedi, yes I get a little bit excited when I see you walk into my room. Guess I gotta get you to see I am the one for you. Young Jedi, yes I get a little bit excited when I see you walk into my room. And guess I gotta get you to see.
Radio 191 FM podcast. Find more at r1.co.nz.